sitting in the morning sun. I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
Hi, this is Chandler, also known as the Salty Sasquatch. You're tuning into Shorelines Radio. I'm sitting here with Alex, Be Fishing.
Hello. Thanks for joining us again.
Yeah. So today, I'd like to talk about a spot that I've been fishing kind of heavy recently, and one that I think is very good for this time of year, you know, end of summer, later summer into the fall, and that's the Venice Jetties. Yeah, and there's the North Jetty Fish Camp, and then the South Jetty Beach, I think is what it's called. But if you can find the Crow's Nest on Google Maps or whatever, it's right past that. It's hard to miss, I mean.
What's the difference between the two?
There really isn't a difference. It's just...
One's short, one's long.
They're both the exact same length. It's just... Depending on where you are geographically, one may be closer to you than the other. Like, yeah. For me, coming from Englewood, the South Jetty's closer. It's not an additional 20-minute drive to get out to it, you know?
Okay.
So, neither seems to be better than the other. They both hold the same fish. You know, you might see the guy across the jetty catch that nice gag grouper, but it's not because you're in the wrong spot. It's those fish move around those jetties, and they don't really care. They don't know that it's the North Jetty or the South Jetty.
Do you know how the water moves there? Is it mainly just coming directly from the west towards land, or does it flow maybe hitting the top jetty from the north side? Or
it depends a lot on which direction the wind's going and what tide you've got. Like, they're next to, or they shoot out from a beach, and then there's an inlet. So on the beach sides of it, you get tides that are normal to any kind of beach area, and they're influenced by the wind.
Okay.
But then you've got the water that comes out of the jetty on the incoming and out, or on the outgoing tide, and then it goes in on the incoming, and that can influence how you fish the inside versus the outside. But the water movement there, it on the outgoing, it seems to have a pretty, I would say, a little bit swifter tide.
Okay,
you might want to use a little bit heavier weight depending on what you're going for, and it's a great area to snook fish. It's somewhere that I kind of explored jig fishing for snook, like big bucktails and 2-ounce flare hawks and whatever. But
I get a little nervous fishing there because of all those rocks.
Yeah.
A lot of people lose their rigs. Is there a certain way to fish it to where you minimize the amount of rigs lost?
I would say go out there and explore with something like a 2-ounce egg sinker tied on, maybe even straight to your braid or with minimal leader, and just kind of explore where some of those hangs and stuff are, because the rocks seem to be kind of random, but once you've fished it enough, you start to figure out like where that one little pocket is where those snook might be or where the mangrove snapper are. But it's a little less heartbreaking to lose a 2-ounce egg sinker than, you know, a pretty bucktail or
a nice Rapala X-Rap.
Yeah, $10 lure.
Yeah. They were actually recently out there in a bunch of canoes and snorkelers, getting all the lost sinkers, lures, line, hooks.
Like a cleanup project or like a big score?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know some people go out there too and dive for shark's teeth.
Yeah.
Right near the end of it, but...
So would you suggest fishing the inside or the outside?
Well, that really depends on what you're going for. I think typically, as far as fishing the very beginning of either of them, if you're on the outside, which is the beachy area, the sandy areas, there's a great opportunity to catch pinfish, whiting, ladyfish, all on small shrimp, small hooks, like a size 1-aught, or even a size 2, like a very small hook for your pinfish and stuff. And it's a great place to throw a cast net to maybe get some white bait or something.
Yeah,
because
I was going to ask, is that allowed out there? And with the rocks and everything, how does that work?
You can cast net out there, but I highly recommend staying in the shallower, sandy areas.
Okay,
versus
going from the beach rather than throw from the jetty itself.
You try and throw from the jetty, you're going to lose your net if you're not very careful or very experienced with it. And I'm not trying to burn $100 on a ripped up net.
That's you said you can actually use a 2-hook for a pinfish. I would have thought that I can only sabiki them.
The pinfish out there are pretty big.
Oh, they're, really?
You know, they get up to hand sized. So
is that an edible fish?
I've heard you can eat them, but the people I've heard that you can eat them from look like they'd eat just about anything.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's that good or not.
Yeah.
I imagine it might be something like a panfish or a brim.
Yeah, something tells me they're probably pretty bony.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably big pin bones and Yeah, so on the inside in the beginning, you'll get some of your smaller snook and, you know, maybe some mangrove snapper. But most of your more desirable fish seem to be towards the middle and the end on either side.
Okay, cool.
On the outside in the middle, I had a blast a week and a half ago catching Spanish mackerel.
Oh, awesome.
And they're all right around keeper size, and they only got to be 12 inches to keep, and you can keep 15 of them. So if you want to go catch a fish that's really fun to catch and kind of make a meal out of it, I would say that's a good place to go get them.
Okay.
And I use 15 to 20 pound braid on a 3,000 size spinning reel, like a 7 or a 7.5 foot medium action, 8 to 15, 10 to 17, 10 to 20 rod, whatever. And you want to use a good bit of leader, like 2 or 3 foot of fluorocarbon, 20 or 25 pound, and then at least like 6 inches of some kind of wire.
Okay.
And you can put a J hook on there or a circle hook and put out a live greenback or a white bait, as some people call them. Or you can throw something like a smaller Yozuri crystal minnow, anything that's clear and flashy. The Yozuri 3DS minnows, a Rapala X-Wrap, the size 8.
A spoon?
A gold spoon, silver spoon works pretty good.
Okay.
I just seem to have better luck on some kind of billed diving bait or suspending bait. But people throw spoons for them. And gotcha plugs. Gotcha plugs are a great lure for them, too.
What's the depth out there? So you're talking about fishing the beginning of the jetty, the middle, and the end. Does the depth work its way out to deeper waters?
From the beach side, mm-hmm. on the outside of either jetty, yes. On the inside, because of the boat traffic and stuff that goes through there, it's fairly deep all the way.
Okay.
I think the reason some of your bigger target fish hang closer to the end of it is because on the incoming tide, there's more bait that gets pulled into it mm-hmm. and comes into it versus on really heavy, like rainy days or after a big rain, you've got a big flush of fresh water that gets pushed out of there and some bait gets pushed out, but it's kind of a long ways for anything to get pushed out of it rather than into them. So I don't know if that's why, that would be my best guess.
Yeah, no, that's a good guess.
Did you get a chance?
Incoming and outcoming?
Oh. I like the incoming tide a little bit better on the inside.
Okay.
You know, fishing.
It seems like incoming's better in most places.
It really depends. Being in a boat or something, you know.
It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter. You can kind of find the tide, but being restricted to fishing only from piers and the shore and jetties and any kind of structure that you can walk out on, you're really looking for not necessarily the better bite, because the fish bite on moving water regardless. It's which tide's easier for you to fish. There's some areas where you'll go nuts trying to get a lure or a bait into that strike zone or into where those fish are hanging out on one tide versus the other, where it just pulls it right in perfectly. So it, you know, figuring out which tide you want to fish is a little bit, you know.
I have a lot of experience fishing Ponce de Leon Park, and that's something that we'll talk about soon in its own episode. But I noticed there, incoming tide, you're going to hook up with so many more fish than outgoing. Sometimes outgoing, you just won't get any action.
I think that might be a case, too, where it's like the jetties, where on your incoming tide, you get more like mullet and pinfish and smaller mangrove snapper and, you know, whatever kind of forage species getting pulled in there versus whatever little bait that lives up inside there gets pulled out on the outgoing tide. So those fish in that place might know that tide, they're, you know, there's just more food source. Because ultimately, that's what it boils down to. You know, you're trying to catch fish. It's, you know, what are they eating? And why are they there eating that?
Yeah. If you can get the whatever's running in those waters in a cast net, you're going to hook up, you know, five times more than if you're using some...
Yeah.
Shrimp or cup bait
Walmart
from the store.
Walmart uncooked shrimp.
Yeah.
Come on, folks. Don't do that. I've heard about it so many times.
But it's shrimp.
Yeah. It's not the same shrimp, I promise. And speaking of that, this time of year, too, you get some fish that are on a glass minnow bite. And I was recently up in Sarasota fishing a couple bridges that I like to fish, and there was 100-pound tarpon blowing up on glass minnows.
Oh, wow.
I cast net beautiful 4 or 5 inch finger mullet, beautiful, lively, light leader, 50 pound with a 60 pound tippet, size 6 J hook. And they wouldn't even look at it. I'd put that mullet in front of them. They'd kind of dip down, pick the mullet up, go to walk to another area, and one of those 100 pound fish would come out and swipe on a pot of glass minnows. And that was just the most heartbreaking, frustrating bite. But yeah. All you can really do is try and match that, like size your bait down, size your lure down, whatever.
They're such a funny species when it comes to getting them to bite.
Oh, yeah. Tarpon drive me
nuts. It's like a
man.
Woman. Don't try to understand what's going on in that brain, because you're never going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Just keep trying. Throw what you have at them. Cast nets what's there. See what the boat next to you is doing, if there is one next to you.
Yeah, you could write a book about women and tarpon, and it would change when the wind changed. But anyways, another fish I wanted to talk about catching from the jetties, and this is on an outgoing tide because you get better current and you lose less gear. There's some good opportunity to catch black tip sharks, spinner sharks from there. And remember, if you're going to be shore-based shark fishing, you need to go on... I think it's the FWC website, and do the free course.
Takes very little time.
Yeah, it's...
You'll learn stuff.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, it's a good opportunity to learn about identifying sharks and what you can and can't use. And I know
new,
all those...
New rules and regulations. There's a lot of things that you need to know, and things have changed.
Yeah. But if you can go out there with, you know, frozen mullet, fresh mullet... Cut pinfish, fresh ladyfish you caught at the beginning of it.
Cut pinfish?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Big pinfish. And I don't mean cut it in half, but maybe snip the tail and poke it a couple times with a knife.
Okay.
And, you know, you could catch small black tips. You could also get a cobia doing that. You never know. Anytime you put out a cut bait, you get anything from catfish to 100-plus pound tarpon, you know. But on the outgoing tide...
If you catch a catfish, use that as bait.
Yeah, for sure. Catfish can be good
bait. How are you
going
to cut it?
The catfish?
Yeah.
So when you're looking at a sail cat or a gaff top, there's kind of this triangle of three...
Well, let's talk about a hardhead.
Okay.
Because I'm more likely to catch a hardhead 25 to 1 than a sail cat. Boy, those are beautiful fish. But
yeah,
how would you cut up a hardhead?
I don't... I would...
It's probably not that much different, but...
No, the hardhead, it just... They're a little bit narrower, so I would maybe tend to use more of it than the sail cat, and the hardheads get a lot... Or the sail cats get a lot bigger, so with the hardheads, I'll use a bigger piece.
Okay.
The sail cats use a smaller piece. But with the hardheads, there's their dorsal spine, and then they have two spines on their pectoral fins. If you can get a knife behind that spine comfortably, if the catfish is dead, or if, you know, you can hold the leader just don't get stuck by them. It sucks. I've been stuck by catfish, stingrays, nine-aught circle hooks. Just be careful about, you know, what you're doing with your hands out there. But
the chance that you'll need IV antibiotics is pretty high with our saltwater catfish down here. Be very careful.
But if you can get a knife in behind that dorsal spine and kind of cut at an angle towards their pectoral fins, you get this nice clean
fillet.
Yeah, there's none of those spines in it. There's no bones. The hard heads and the gaff tops have a huge plate on the top of their head. So when you get that out of it, you just get a little bit better bait. I don't think the fish are more apt to eat it because of that. I just think you get a lot better shot getting a good hook set when all that stuff isn't in there, because they don't have to move it around in their mouth. They don't have to think about how they're going to pick it up. They just kind of come up and whack it, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm glad I asked, because the few times that I have tried to use hardheads as bait, I just cut them right behind the dorsal fin, and that's it.
Yeah.
But the presentation is pretty important, and I see where you're coming from, that a nice fillet off the side is so much more appealing to them and easier for them to eat and hit and get a good hook set.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah, even watching fish like snook try and eat a big chunk of dead bait, they'll find it and they know it's there, and they'll move around it to position themselves in a way where they can just very easily eat it. So even with fish like sharks, like if I'm going to target black tips, and again, you never know what you're gonna get, but if I'm using a whole like 2-pound mullet, I'll at least cut the very end of the tail off.
Okay.
Because there's nothing for them to kind of drag around or stick out of their mouth. If they're going to hit it, they're going to get the whole thing almost, you know, immediately. So it's just less kind of, I don't know what you call it, less to interfere with what's going on.
Get rid of the parsley on the plate.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Back to the jetties.
Yeah. So the outgoing tides for sharks go right to the end, like a 3 or 4 ounce pyramid sinker. 2 foot of cable or single strand wire, a good 6 to 7 to 8-aught inline, non-offset, non-stainless circle hook, you know, to comply with the new laws for shark fishing, and put a big chunk of something dead out there. You never know. You never know what kind of fish are going to be cruising the beach. And I, at least anytime I'm land-based fishing, we'll have a rod kind of dedicated to putting something, some kind of frozen or fresh dead bait out on. So I'll fish with my lures or I'll fish with live bait, but having something out there just in case is great. And sometimes you get some of your best fish on that rod that you're not thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. Are people using rod holders out there?
No, most people have pier carts, and I see a lot of people position their rods into the rocks to where the rod will sit there. I don't recommend it. You'll lose a rod doing that. I would recommend having some kind of pier cart or heavy chair that you can set the rod into or finagle some way. There's no real good place to put a rod holder, unfortunately.
Is there a need for a net down there?
I would have, like any time I go anywhere from the land or a pier or whatever, some kind of basket-style drop net. There's a Promar 32-inch drop net that has been one of my best friends.
Yeah,
it's worth its weight in gold. But yeah, some kind of net, because you can pull up a mangrove snapper or a Spanish mackerel right onto the rocks very easily, but you get into a 30 plus inch snook or that cobia of your dreams or something, the rocks will win every time.
Are there any redfish out there?
There are, and we're coming up on the time of year where you might start to see some of those bigger schooling bull reds. And that's a great place to go catch them on cut ladyfish. And
black drum?
I've not really ever seen black drum out there. Maybe some smaller ones up in the rocks and farther up in that waterway back towards Albee Road. But I've never seen bigger black drum out there.
So you mentioned bull reds.
Yeah.
What size do they become bulls?
I'd say, 36, 38 inches plus, three foot plus.
Wow, I'd like one of those.
Yeah. You get some off the jetties sometimes that are 40 inches, 42 inches. Farther up in Sarasota, they're already catching them at Rod and Reel Pier and New Pass. they're getting some bigger bull reds, so I'd expect to start seeing them here. And I had heard from a couple captains that out in front of Boca and on the sides, there have been some.
Nice.
So, you know, I've never gotten a big redfish like that, so I'm going to try and put one of those under my belt this year.
What's your biggest?
Probably 28, 29 inches. Incidental catch.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah, I might have just gotten one bigger, but we didn't measure it. But my first redfish was a 28-inch redfish. It was one of the ones that actually that they had just released as part of the Red Tide Initiative.
Oh, nice.
And it was tagged.
That's awesome.
I still haven't received my free shirt.
I'd harass them about it, man.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you got to lose? It's free. But no, that's cool. I saw that picture of the redfish you caught recently. That definitely was heavier than the one I caught.
Sweet. I got you beat on one fish.
Yeah.
Probably the only fish and the only time I will ever have gotten something bigger than you.
No, there's one that you caught with me that's bigger than one I've ever caught from the land, but we're saving that for another episode.
That's going to be an amazing episode.
Yeah.
Super excited. You make dreams come true.
I try. I've caught the fish of a lifetime 100 times over down here. I like seeing other people do it.
Fishing with you, I haven't done it that much, but you got me two like fish that I'll never forget catching them, and it's always fun with you. And if you're looking for a big fish, go fishing with Chandler.
Yeah, there was a night where I caught like a 41, 42 inch snook, and I was down in the water next to the bridge releasing it. And I let it go, and not even 10 seconds later, Alex hooked a 40-inch snook and brought it in. And if I had held on to that fish 15, 20 more seconds, we would have had a picture of both of us with 40-inch snook.
Beautiful family portrait.
Yeah. But there's one more fish that I'd like to talk about on the jetties, and that's gag grouper.
Ooh.
I kind of said something about it, but targeting in there can be a little tough. Incidentally, you might catch some with the same way that you'd be trying to target big snook. So if you're throwing like a 2-ounce flare hawk, you might get a big gag or a big snook. If you put down a live pinfish on a knocker rig, same thing. But there's one bait that seems to pull more of those gag groupers out there, and that's like an 8 or 10 inch bluefish. Not a blue runner, bluefish. So like how you'd fish for the Spanish or the ladyfish.
Uh-huh.
If you catch a bluefish, put that down on the biggest rod you got, because one of the biggest gag groupers I've ever seen caught from the shore was caught from that jetty on like an 8-inch bluefish. Again, bluefish, not blue runner.
So for the gag, would you be fishing inside or outside?
Either.
Okay.
Either. I think probably you'd have better luck at the very end on the tip on the inside.
Uh-huh.
Or the outside, or at the very end on the outside to the outside. But the closer to the beach you get, the less likely you're going to see them.
Okay.
They like deeper water. They like those big holes. And I usually don't recommend using wire for grouper and stuff, but there is one of the places where maybe I would have like 6 or 8 or 10 inches of cable. Because that way, if it breaks off, there's not 4 foot of it hanging off the fish. But you've got a lot better shot, because those gags will come out, hit it, and turn right around and try and get back in where they're seated. They want to kind of get away from everything and just digest. They're very lazy fish.
What size are we talking about?
The gags?
Yeah.
You probably get them up to 30 inches there. The biggest, I don't know how long exactly that one that I saw caught there was, mm-hmm. but shoot, it had to have been 20 pounds. It was a monster.
Is that season still open?
It's open till December 31st. It closes January 1st, I believe.
Oh.
But it's open now.
Very cool. I have still not caught one, so I still have time, as well as being able to eat it.
Yeah. It's my biggest one I've ever caught was probably around 12 pounds.
Nice.
And 2 in the morning, caught it 3 days before season closed out in Englewood off Tom Adams Pier. Went home, immediately made fish tacos with it. Some of the best fish I've ever had.
Real quick, Pegleg Steve, he makes grouper corn dogs. They're nice fillets of grouper on a little skewer and then breaded in hush puppy batter.
That sounds amazing.
Doesn't
I'll
that
have to
sound
try that.
Amazing.
I might go and make some right now.
Yeah, I know, right? We'll have to get that recipe and share it with you all.
For sure.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a great episode.
Yeah.
Love learning about the Venice jetties.
Yeah.
Chandler, say goodbye.
Goodbye. Go tear them up.
Goodbye. And come visit us at Fish and Frank's, too.